What's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod. This is, of course, your week 7 recap, and that means it's official. Johnny is undefeated since the last time he was on this podcast. That's right. You heard me. He has not lost. He's turned it around. He's back in the game. He's no longer in last place. He owns 9-point tiebreaker over Matt. This is huge news, everybody. If you stuck with us through last week's pod, don't worry, we're back to our usual format. We'll do a quick power rankings, and then we've got some interviews. Almost everybody else that wasn't on the pod last week jumps on this week. So some pretty good news. I'll have you know that I'm actually recording this part last, so we're like time traveling right now, and Trey and Matt's trade just got approved. So this is like a wild inside out backwards thing, because I talked to Trey later on, the way you guys hear it, and I don't bring it up. That's why. Kind of a crazy trade. I guess I set a precedent here. Seems to me like Matt's getting a lot. I guess. That's my gut reaction. It literally just came across my screen. Haven't really thought about it. Power rankings. Big week. Roe can't be on the pod. But Roe is now first in points four. Which is going to have a big effect. Obviously, Cole lost. Cole is totally defeated. Cole has not won a game since the last time he was on the podcast. Two outrageous claims that we can make this week. I think Roe is number one in the power rankings right now. We're going to give it to Roe. And number two, we're going to give to Trey. Continues to score. I'm going to throw myself in there at three. Just ahead of Cole, who comes in at four. You'll hear later on what I think of Cole's team. You already know. Fifth in the league, I think it's Anurag, up from sixth. Big spot. He actually thinks he's worse than that, but I don't. I think Anurag's team is better than all of the 3 and 4 teams right now, even though he's not outscoring them. Right now, I think he's better. Sixth in the league is Chris. Big jump for Chris. He's sixth. His team's kind of scary good. I mentioned that a little bit later on. If you tilt your head just right, Chris's team isn't that bad and might make the playoffs. 7-4-game losing streak, Aditya. It's got to be seventh. His saving grace right now is the tiebreaker in points. If he stays even with Chris and Hank, he's got to make the playoffs if the season ends now. Hank comes in at 8. Hank does not come in at 8. Johnny, 8th in the league, 8th in the power rankings. He gets that big win. Got to feel good for Johnny. Beating Matt, I don't care who you beat. As long as you beat somebody, you move up in the power rankings. Hank's going to come in at 9. He only put up 85 this week. Another really low score for Hank, and Hank has to be worried about the tiebreaker. Hank's got to score some points. We thought he was GM of the year. We crowned him too early. He is who we thought he is. And that leaves Matt in 10th. As you know, Matt has officially become a seller before the trade deadline. So he knows he's 10th. We know he's 10th. And with that, let's get into some interviews.
Hello?
What's up, Trey? Welcome to the pod. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. We got you first on the pod because you're going on a date tonight. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, met a girl on Hinge, talked a little bit, and we're going to go out for drinks and see how it goes.
Hell yeah. Where are you going?
We're going to this place called Rail Yard, which is like just a local bar right near my place. That's pretty cool.
Are you laughing because you know the joke I'm going to make?
Yeah, I'm laughing because you laughed because I know the joke you're going to make.
I won't make the joke. Nice. That sounds good. Is this your first date with her?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So,
well, good luck.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll get you out of here quick. You're 5-2. We are 5-2. That's exciting. You had a win this week. You beat Hank. How are you feeling about odds of making the postseason, win over Hank, upcoming matchup? Where's your team stand?
I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm glad I got some of my top players off of bye now. I think I managed during our auction my bye weeks a little bit pretty well. It's like kind of got them spread out, so I don't have too many of my top people off. I think this was probably my worst bye week.
This past week?
Week 7. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm appreciative of Hank with that, just allowing me to move forward in my my quest to become number one. I know there are some sharks in the water now with some of the other teams that thought they might come out with a win this week, not coming out. So
who are you? There's blood in the water specifically.
I was talking about Matt, just because there's blood in the water now. He said last week that 1-6 is way different to him than 2-5. And I know there's some other people out there who might think it's their year as well. And so got to make some moves, maybe see what's happening.
Okay. So speaking of making moves, you didn't make this one, but John Gruden did for you. Amari Cooper got traded. Do you think that helps or hurts your team?
I don't think it has a super overall effect on my team.
Okay.
I think the hardest part about my team right now is just deciding which flex player to play. Because I put Demaryius Thomas in, I had a feeling he was going to catch a touchdown, which he did not, and then everybody else on my bench did. So just choosing the right flex player, choosing the one player to sub in for buys, I think that's I have my core set, and that's my goal now is just to make it on through and just keep rolling. I don't think it has a huge effect. It'd be interesting to see if Amari can return to his old ways, which I hope he doesn't as a Redskins fan.
Fair.
So I hope he continues to stay on my bench and that I get great production from all the rest of my players as a Redskins fan.
That's fair. That's understandable. And yeah, I agree, especially because I guess he didn't play last week and then he has a bye this coming week. So it's not like you're going to immediately feel the effects if there are any anyways.
Yeah, he had a bye last week, right? I think the Raiders were on bye.
No, I think he just didn't. No, they played. I think he just didn't score. He had 0 points last week.
Oh, yeah, he was concussed.
And then the Cowboys have a bye this coming Sunday.
He was concussed on the first play, so.
Ah, that's right, yeah. Tell us about your acquisition of Nick Chubb.
Well, so I know there was a lot of, like, how does Trey react so fast? I do have notifications on my phone.
I can tell you firsthand that Chris was pretty triggered retelling his side of how he didn't get Nick Chubb. So that's why I got to ask.
Well, man, I want to hear that story then. But, yeah, so I have notifications on my phone. They get sent to me. I'm sitting there. I work in a chemical lab, so some of the testing that we do is basically monitoring stuff for every 3 degrees to see when oil becomes no longer pourable. Because part of our job is to, like, supply chemicals to make it flow better at cold temperatures. So I was doing one of those tests, just like sitting there watching every 3 degrees. Got to pick it up, tilt it, make sure that it's work that our chemical's working. And I saw a notification popped up, and I was like, "Oh, hey, bam!" Just had a player I knew I could drop. Went after him.
Nice. Well, that was well done. Chris's side of the story was basically he claimed that he was on Twitter like the within the minute of Schefter tweeting it, and he was already gone. which Schefter's, I think, has to wait for more sources to confirm than maybe some other destinations do. But yeah, he was pretty worked up about that one.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that said that might happen. Then I saw it get confirmed, and I was like, oh, shit. So I was already moving when I saw the tweet that it might happen.
Fair.
So.
Yeah, that'll do it. I mean, that was fast, and speed's the name of the game. So you actually play Chris next, and Chris is coming off high points after, he's coming off high points. We'll start there. Are you worried about Chris's team? How do you feel about Chris's team week 8?
I think Chris's team is a little bit bolstered by the amount of touchdowns he scored last week. I don't think it's a given every week, especially with some of the trades that have happened in real life for all the teams, that his players consistently score touchdowns at that rate. So I'm going to go He's a concerning. He's more concerning than he was earlier in the season for some people that played him. But I still am confident in my squad. I'm awaiting eagerly the description or pregame speech from Chris to see if there's any rebuttals that need to be made.
That's good. That's always an important part of any upcoming matchup with Chris. How many wins do you think it takes? What is the fewest wins that will make the playoffs this year?
The fewest win to make the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
So we got Cole at 6-1, right?
Yep.
Me and you at 5-2.
Yep.
Roe
and Anurag are 4-3.
4-3. Three and four
is Chris, Hank, and Aditya.
Okay, so I'm calling. I think 6 wins gets you in. 7 has you confident.
Okay, so you think a team with a losing record might get in?
Yeah, I think a team with a losing record might get in.
Yeah, I mean, there's 3 teams with losing records right now, and that one of the 3 has to get in. So that could hold.
I think if Matt has another down week, he's definitely a seller. And then we'll see Johnny. He's already a seller. So I think...
Oh, Johnny's a seller. That's for sure.
So I think going forward from there, we'll have to see what happens. But I think a team with a losing record could get in because that parity in that area will remain... pretty steady for everybody.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's probably true. And they have to play each other enough times that it'll sort of limit itself. All right, so let's go back to Chris's team, because I think Chris's team is actually interesting. I think on the podcast last week, like, he was too...
on
eating wings, but also, like, too quick to make fun of his own roster. He has, for starters, twice broken 150 this year. And if you take out the one week against me where we put up basically no points and I snuck out a win, he's broken 100 the other 6 weeks, including 2 of those over 150. I think Chris's team is actually okay.
Sure, yeah. I would agree with that.
I think Chris's team is, well, I guess this is putting it, this is stating the obvious, squarely between Aditya and Hank. and there's a huge gap between them in my head, but I don't know. I could see Chris's team sneaking into the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So from what I'm hearing, like, it, Johnny's in your division, right? He's a blue butthole.
Johnny is a blue butthole. Yes.
Okay.
So is Chris.
So then, out of the 6. I think that 4 could come from your division and 2 could come from mine.
Hmm. Right now, your side has both of the 4-3 teams. So if you're just counting teams that are above 500, you have 3, we have 2. But you also have Aditya as that last 3-4 team. So, like, if the playoffs were decided right now, you guys would have 4, and then Cole and I would be the only ones from my side.
I think you'll see in the coming weeks that there'll be some turnaround and some bye weeks that hurt some people.
Interesting. So you think that there's a chance? Basically, what you're saying is you think Chris and Hank could knock Anurag and Aditya out of the playoffs. Well, Anurag, Roe, or Aditya out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking could happen.
Wow. Okay. That'd be pretty wild. That would be, Hank's team is hilarious to me because he scored so few points that he really doesn't stand a chance in any tiebreaker, and that's gonna be a problem for him at some point. So he would have to just win a lot of matchups from here on in to make that happen.
I think bye week, like, this was the first bad bye week, I think, and I think it gets worse from here. So I think there's opportunities for matchups to be won. With less than 100% squads.
All right. Yeah, I agree. You feeling pretty good about the first round of the playoff bye?
I mean, I think each year thus far, I've come down to the last game of the season in a chance for the bye and not gotten it. So I'm hoping this year I'm going to try to make some moves and kind of secure that before that last game. So we'll see what happens. I feel like I've been a little bit more active on good pickups from the waiver wire as opposed to just pickups from the waiver wire as I have been in other years.
Yeah, you've definitely toned that down and gotten a lot more punch with each one that you make.
So we'll see how that goes. And
you do have Roe. So Roe couldn't make it onto the pod tonight, but he did want me to put everyone on notice that he is number one in total points for, which is really a shot at you because he's on your side of the standings, and he has eclipsed you by 0.4 of a point. So, I think he was just subtweeting you when he told me to say that.
Okay, because I was about to call him out on that because I was leading last week and I didn't think he scored. I think it was up by 11. I didn't think he scored 11 more than me, but I guess he did.
He almost had high points. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, he put up some garbage points on Sunday and Monday night and almost ended up with high points. But you actually play him in 2 weeks. So if you and him fare well this week, or maybe even if you lose and he wins, then you're tied, and that week 9 matchup against him could have a lot on the line.
Yeah, it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Pretty excited for it.
All right, man. Well, we're going to let you go. Have fun on your date. Be good. Be a gentleman.
I appreciate it. I always am. Except right. We're in games of Risk or fantasy football.
Tell your date to subscribe and give us 5 stars on iTunes.
I will. Okay. Also, one thing for clearing the airwaves, the potential trade where that text came out. There was an agreement in force with Hankerford that was agreed to in text, and I even sent the trade offer. But your midnight trade offer came back, so I canceled it before he received
he received
the email to accept it.
I didn't realize that I came that close to ruining that for everybody.
Yeah, and so I spent probably my entire lunch hour agonizing over the fact of, do I trade with Scott after agreeing with Hank, or do I still give Hank the player, and he's offered me this other player that makes it a better deal for me.
Right.
It's more of what I'm looking for.
Even if if every party agreed that the trades were totally even, I think you did the right thing from like an objective standpoint. I'm obviously, I just wish that I'd gotten the trade that I liked in name, but I don't think you did anything wrong. I think you made the right choice and probably did what was more fair and what was a better deal for you.
Mm-hmm. There was an ethical dilemma in there that I was stuck on. And I was like, is my word as a fantasy football GM more important than winning this year?
Mm.
And that's what I went on and I chose.
That's tough.
So
as a sex positive podcast, I believe that a trade starts at conception. So anyways, now that we've gone there, have fun on your date tonight.
All right. Yeah. Well, hopefully there's no conception tonight, but that would be probably not the direction I want to go, but hopefully there's some fun.
All right. Sounds good, man. You have a good night. Right.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Hello.
What's up, GTA? Welcome to the pod. How you doing?
I'm good. Scott, how have you been?
I'm doing well. I had to do a double take when I opened the standings this morning.
All right.
And saw that you were on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a disappointing few weeks for me, so.
The last time you won a game, we were both 3-0 and awfully braggadocious about it on this very podcast.
Yeah.
tell us where your morale is.
Okay, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, I knew I was going to have to come on the pod and explain myself because, you know, this is obviously an embarrassing situation, but I was thinking about it. I mean, it's been a disappointing couple of weeks, but if you really think about it, like, 2 of the 4 times I lost, like, the first 2 times, I put up over 120. So, I don't really look at those 2 weeks as anything, like, that I'm too disappointed with. So, it's really these last 2 weeks. And I was thinking, like, last week it came down to the wire with Hank, and that was probably my worst performance, but I was still really close to winning. And then this week, Chris was going to destroy me no matter what, but I had lost Gronk and Cooper Kupp to injuries, and I don't have Devonta Freeman already, and I lost Carlos Hyde because of a trade. So I kind of had a lot of things going against me this week, so it's disappointing, but I'm still optimistic because I'm still very much in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, so I'm looking at these losses now. You lost to Rowe in week 4, and he put up 145.
Yeah.
And then 154, obviously. Chris was high points this week. You had the heartbreaker on Monday night to Hank, which...
That was my worst loss, for sure.
Were you awake and cognizant of what was going on in real time?
I was watching the Packers game, and I was watching how they were literally only passing to one guy.
Like, it was unbelievable, every play.
They weren't even trying. He wasn't even looking for anybody else. It was just him every time.
The drive before the one that actually ended the game, he dropped one that would have kept the drive alive. And I think that catch would have, if he had caught it and just been tackled right away, that would have put Hank above you, but he dropped it. The way I saw it playing out as a 49ers fan was that the Niners were going to get it back and win, and they would never touch the ball again. So I was ready to point out this dropped catch made all the difference for you. And then the Niners just could not hold the ball at all.
That was gonna be a heartbreaking loss for either of us then, I guess.
Yeah.
Regardless of how. But another thing is that at the end they were already in field goal range, so he didn't have to do another pass. And literally the last pass. he didn't have to make that pass.
That's right.
He was in field goal range. Yeah. Just run the ball.
Absolute garbage. Garbage point.
That's as bad as it gets. He got into field goal range, and I was like, okay, it's over. They're done. They don't need to do anything else. And then he throws it.
Yeah. And, of course, to Randall Cobb, who he had thrown to, like, you know, 4 of the last 6 targets or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was a bad loss. But, I mean, that seems to be Hank's, like, that's how he wins. Like, he really destroys the opponent's soul. So, I mean, that's just how he does it.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't win by scoring a lot of points.
No. He does heartbreaking wins. That's what he does.
Which might actually, if you hold out long enough, that might actually benefit you. Looking at the standings, you, Chris, and Hank are all 3-win teams. And if we say that, if we rule out Matt and Johnny, basically one of the three of you has to make the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm... Based on my points forward, I'm definitely the most confident of us three.
Yeah, you've got about 60 points for over Chris, and you've got almost 200 points for over Hank.
Yeah. But okay, another thing is, like, look at my points against. I think, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if this is true, but I think Johnny's the only one that has more points allowed than me.
Yeah, you've almost caught up to Johnny. That's a good point, too.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that like, people stop having high weeks against me, because I think Trey's done it. I think Rohan did it once, and now Chris did it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that hopefully that changes. And I do need to, like, that being said, like, Chris did it, but it's not an excuse, because I wasn't going to win this week regardless of if he put up 150 or, like, even 110. So it's not much of an excuse.
Okay, so you're trying to end the bleeding, but you're playing me this week, which makes this awkward for me.
Yeah, and honestly, I wish I was not playing you, because I don't know, Scott, I'm looking at your team, and I don't know why people aren't talking about your team, because you are literally stacked from top to bottom. Like, even your defense and kicker, like, I was thinking that I think my biggest weakness is my defense and kicker. I have not had a consistent defense or kicker all year, and people have been putting up, like, 20 points on their defense against me, so I think that's a major advantage you have there.
I've just been streaming defense. Like, defense was the one position that I was like, I'm just gonna figure it out on the fly, and
But I mean, you got.
But I've gotten huge weeks out of defenses over and over again. I got 33 last week. I got 21 with Houston the week before that, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Your defenses are set. Like, Houston's number 2, and then Denver. You got lucky with that 33 points.
Yeah. Yeah. Not going to play Denver against you, because they're playing Kansas City.
No, I don't. Part of me was hoping you would forget to bench them, but I guess that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll remember to bench them. Don't worry.
All right.
I was going to point out that your second best player on your team is on a bye this week.
Who are we talking about here? We're talking about
your kicker, Brett Maier.
Oh, well. Yeah. Yes, I guess that's my second buzz. That's pretty sad. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, honestly, yeah, Brett Pierce may be my second best player, but I picked him up this week.
Right.
And the 3 weeks before that, 15, 12, 21. But, of course, the week I pick him up, 5, 6 points. So
he's still the third-ranked kicker, though.
He's been good overall, but yeah, I mean, obviously that's not helping me. So,
and you can read into this as a Cowboys fan however you want, but I think the Cowboys are going to continue to kick a lot of field goals.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one offense you would want your kicker to be on.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Teams that can't score touchdowns, but they're at least decent enough to get there. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Probably actually your second best player is also on a bye, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean,
but you have Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That I'm good with. I mean, I think my most consistent players this whole year have been Gurley and AJ Green. So hopefully they can continue. And then I'm hoping – see, there's the one interesting thing between our matchup is I'm hoping Cooper Kupp comes back because that helps me and it also hurts you. So
yeah.
It's like a double. That's one thing I'm looking at. Like, if Cooper Kupp comes back, that's a huge advantage for me. But
what is it – oh, he has an MCL strain?
Yeah, he like literally he was carted off the field. I think that's what it was, an MCL sprain. And so it's not as serious as they initially thought it was. But like they were talking to the coach this week and they were like, oh yeah, he's going to play. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's hard to say whether he's going to play or not, which I don't know what that means. But it's literally going to be it's going to be a game time decision. So I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, that could have a big impact on our matchup.
Yeah, because your guy, like, what's his face, Robert Woods?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's... I don't know. Has he always been doing well, or is it just since the Cooper Kupp injury? I haven't been following.
No, he started the season pretty hot. He's been pretty consistently up there.
He'd be good regardless then, but still, I think Cooper Kupp would be like at least kind of bring him down a little.
Yeah, yeah. If nothing else, the you know just targets, but.
Yeah, and also that might also neutralize you're playing Jared Goff, I believe. So that would help me there too.
Yeah, I also have Carson Wentz. We'll see.
Oh yeah, that's right. So you've got you've got options.
Carson Wentz is playing Jacksonville, and usually it'd just be a red flag of stay away. And their defenses look pretty bad lately. And it's in London, so like anything can happen.
That's true. Yeah, the London thing kind of makes it a hit or miss.
Yeah. So all right, you are now below your brother in the standings.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Are you saying below him in standings or power rankings?
Standings.
Oh, standings. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought Unruh had a good team from the start, so I was kind of high on him from the beginning. So that's, I mean, honestly, I'm not as surprised.
But okay.
I mean,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess like from the beginning, this is sort of where we would have, you guys would be close and he might have an edge on you.
I didn't expect him to be as bad as he was in the beginning of the season. So, like, I think he's getting back to where he should be.
Okay, and you actually get a chance to play him in 2 weeks.
Exactly. I have must wins against you and him now because I don't know if I lose to you and him, and they're both tough matchups. Then, like, I was I was kind of telling Hank and Underug that yesterday that I don't know about this season, like, the way I'm going, when is it time to start thinking, oh, no, this season's done? And obviously, that's not right now, because I'm still very much in it, but, like, I'm playing, like, you and Unruh are both potential losses, and if I go 3-6, then it might be time to start thinking about next year.
Yeah, but, week 10, that's when the trade deadline would happen, would be in between 9 and 10, and week 10, you play Matt, which right now looks pretty good on your schedule.
Yeah, but I need to get at least one of these next two wins. Honestly, I think I need to get both, but at least one.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, that's I see what you're saying, but the flip side of that is if the season ended today, you'd be in the playoffs.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Is like right now, it's not time to panic. Right. But just looking ahead, the fact that I play you two is not ideal because I need to get a win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we'll see though.
Well, cool. Who do you think wins Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be. I mean, I'm looking at the AFC. Nobody can beat the Chiefs, in my opinion. They're just amazing. And then on the NFC side, it's probably gonna be the Rams. So I think it's gonna be Chiefs, Rams, and then Based on that, I would just go. I would probably go to Rams just because Todd Gurley. I mean, seeing him firsthand is like he's just amazing. And I don't know about Patrick Mahomes. He has no playoff experience, so yeah, I'm gonna go Rams.
Okay, I like that pick. I was thinking about this morning. I think that would be a really refreshing playoff matchup of like a young Rams coach, two young quarterbacks that are really exciting and not named Brady, Roethlisberger, or Manning.
Exactly. Just two different teams like that we've never seen.
Yeah, right? Teams that we haven't seen, a team that's in a new location. I guess like Andy Reid coming back to the Super Bowl would have its own little storyline there. But also you would score, I would take the over on 100 points in the Super Bowl if that was the matchup.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. That might be like one of the best Super Bowl matchups in recent times. I can't think of like a, I don't know.
Certainly the most offensive.
Most offensive, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, bad luck against me this week, and then good luck against everyone else after that.
I mean, Scott, I'm hoping you have another 70-point performance in you. I think you did that like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yep, I'm hoping that you continue a trend that has quite nearly started week one of always scoring worse than you did the week before.
Oh, wow. You're right.
Week two good. And week three were close. That's the only ones that break it. But yeah. Other than that, you're down to 101 and you're trending downwards. So you still haven't scored below 100, which I think you and Cole are the only ones who haven't done that. And you both were in the single digits above 100 this week. In fact, it looked like going into the last couple of matchups, you probably would score below 100. So we'll see if you can cling to that.
Yeah, I mean, I need to get a high weak point one of these weeks. That's my hope. Get put 150.
Oh, you haven't won it?
No, I'm not because I haven't put it below 100, but I've also not except week one. I think I put 142.
Yeah, you were close.
I haven't had a really like. I'm pretty sure I'm not even on that list anymore of top points. Like,
yeah,
everyone's putting up like 130 every week. I don't know.
Yeah, you had 4 weeks in the 120s, which is gonna do a lot for your points four without getting you high points.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, well, we'll see how it shakes out. It'll be a fun weekend.
Yep, we'll see what happens. Good luck, man. Anyways.
Yep, we'll talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
What's up, Honorog? Welcome to the pod. How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great because I beat you this week. We'll get that out there.
Yep. Hey, I told you to start Wentz and you didn't.
So I did put him in my lineup for a few hours on Thursday afternoon after you texted me that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I was getting on a plane when I was texting you. I put him in on my plane without any internet connection and just my thoughts to myself. I got really worried about that decision. And then while we were podcasting, I started asking everybody, as you heard. And eventually I just came out as a cynic about the 49ers defense. And then it actually didn't end up mattering.
It didn't matter. That's true.
It was like a 1 point difference or something like that. But you're 4-3. You're firmly still in the playoff picture.
Yep. But I'm playing. Yeah. It's not good.
You're playing Cole this week. That's what you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. But Cole's not doing that well these days. I'm not that confident.
Yeah, let's talk more about how bad Cole's team is.
Yeah, let me pull it up. His receivers aren't performing, and then David Johnson's not doing anything.
And Sonny Michel looks like he may not have an ankle anymore.
Yeah.
And David Johnson's a scrub.
David Johnson's a scrub. Maybe Justin Tucker doesn't make field goals anymore.
Ooh, yeah, he lost the clutch gene.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, if there was I play Hammond, then I play Ida, then I play, I think Rohan, and then Trey.
Yeah,
I think I need one of those wins. So
and then you're counting on getting a win against Johnny and a win against Matt in the last 2 weeks.
I have to. Yeah.
So that'd get you to 7 wins. Yeah, you got to win one of the next 4, and then beat the 2 teams you should beat.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought I was going to be your team, but if you think about it, your team is now, I would say it's elite, like same tier as Cole and
Joe
Trey.
Flacco.
Cole and I think Cole, Trey, and you, And you could argue for Rohan, but not yet, I think.
So, Cole has never won high points.
No.
And Cole, if he played an average scoring team every week, he'd basically be 3-3-1.
Wow. But his players have been underperforming. So you would think that given what he has. But you know what? I have my other league. It's an 8-team league, which is weird because everyone has really good players. And the bad thing there is that you don't go and pick up anyone like I don't know, like Trey's been picking up a bunch of good people. Like, you don't pick anyone for the waivers because you would never start them over the studs that you have on your team. So maybe Cole has a little bit of that where he's never going to bench OBJ, Julio, David Johnson, but that might ultimately mean he doesn't win.
Yeah, you're saying that, like, I get that. That's a good argument. Like, you're always going to continue to bet on David Johnson even though his last few weeks have been down.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that theory. I like any theory that involves Cole's team being worse than his record shows. I'll also point out that the only person who has fewer points scored against him than Cole does is Chris.
Oh, wow.
Which hasn't done Chris many favors, but is still pretty telling that nobody's scoring against Cole.
Nobody's scoring, yeah. That's true.
So my advice to you is score against Cole.
Score against
That should help you. All right, I want to go back to something you said in the text thread last week.
Mm-hmm.
You scored 115 in week 6, and then I put you 6th in the power rankings, and you weren't pleased. I'm going to give you a chance to rebut last week's power rankings and at the same time place yourself in this week's power rankings.
Okay, yeah, let me pull it up one second. Let me see. Last week I had just... Oh, because last week I was coming off a 3-game win streak. I mean, my team is not good enough for that, but I want to average, obviously, 1 win, 1 loss every 2 weeks. So just given the 3-game wins, I'd scored over 100 each week.
Okay. I can see that.
It just felt like I got robbed there. But after this week, maybe I'm even lower. Let me just see the brackets. Because Cole's behind Scott. Chris's team is good. Yeah, I mean, I think that 6-7 range is probably good still. Because Matt and Johnny are on the bottom, right? And then
what 3-4 team would you put ahead of yourself?
Maybe I like this team. Maybe Chris's team.
Okay.
Chris has put up points a few weeks, like a lot of points.
Yeah, he's won high points twice now, I think.
Yeah, so that variability, I think, is good. I don't have that variability like I did last year. And I think a lot of that is that I'm not...
You put up 146 in week 4.
Yeah.
And 85 in week 3. That's the very definition of
variability. That's true. No, but if you look at the waivers, right? Every year, the person who does really well is probably the one who's going to win. So last year, I had like random pickups like Kenyon Drake and Josh Gordon and what's his name? Jerick McKinnon. This year, I haven't done anything actually on the waivers. And then if you look, there's been a lot of actually good players that people have picked up. I think Trey, he has like Chubb, who's going to be a starting running back. He has Tevin Coleman, who I think he drafted, but still going to be starting. Then he picked up Tariq Cohen. He's, I think, better than Howard on the Bears now. So he's already good, and then he's also doing really well on the waivers. That's a formula to, I guess, win it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that no matter how your draft goes, the team you draft is good for, like, is going to be good for a four-week stretch at some point.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything else to them.
If you don't know that, yeah.
And the point of the waiver wire is to, like, even out that ebb and flow and try and bring up the remaining 9 weeks of the season without bringing down those four that you're going to be great anyways.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Are you worried about a down November for the Chiefs?
In what sense? Do they have a tough schedule?
No, last November, granted, different quarterback, and the only reason I'm asking is because of your quarterback. I think they went 0-4 in November.
Oh, wow.
They were like 7-1 going into it and came out 7-5 and didn't make the playoffs, as I recall.
Oh, yeah.
I think on top of that, Andy Reid has like a historically bad November record anyways, even through his Philadelphia days.
Are you hearing that interference, or is that just me?
I am not hearing that.
Oh, weird. Okay. No, I'm not worried. It's a new quarterback. He seems to be unstoppable.
He really does. Do you think... All right, I'll ask the same question a different way. Do you think... He's currently the number one quarterback by position rank. Do you think he finishes our regular season that way? Do you think he maintains that for another 7 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, let me just pull up the schedule. Denver, Cleveland, Arizona. Any of the Rams, which is tough.
And then a bye in the Oakland.
Bye in the Oakland, yeah. Yeah, he'll be number one. So, yeah, but I guess I'm wasting him, though, because my team sucks. I don't think I'd keep him, right? Because why would you keep a quarterback? So if someone wants to
trade
for him.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, is that like no quarterback will ever be worth the $5 fee.
Yeah. But, he's the only bright spot. Him and Connor. Literally everyone else has just sucked.
I don't know. You got him for a dollar. Keeping him for six might be worthwhile.
It might, if I don't have anyone else.
Cam Newton went for like 15 one. Or something, 20 this year.
No, he was $1. Cole picked him up for $1.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else then.
Maybe Rodgers or someone. Yeah. Or Deshaun?
Deshaun, yeah, I think I'm thinking of Deshaun. Which, like, yeah, it only nets you a few bucks of value, but if you don't have anyone else, you know, can't hurt.
Yeah.
I guess James Conner would be a good choice for, well, depending on what happens there. So do you
think like baseline would be James Conner and Zeke.
Didn't you pay a lot for Zeke?
I've kept him this year, so he was, I think, 56 this year. So he'll be 66 next year.
Okay.
That might make sense.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Le'Veon Bell?
No, apparently he's not coming until after the trade deadline, so he's screwing this up completely. But he'll probably play. I think he'll play. Why not use him if they're going to pay him, right? So he'll probably take the majority of the snaps, but I don't think he stays next year.
Well, it's not up to them. Otherwise, he'd be playing right now.
Yeah, but he has to play, I think, right? Like 6 or 7 games if he wants to get the credit.
Week 10, he has to show up, I think.
He has to show up, yeah.
And otherwise, he doesn't get to be a free agent.
Yeah, and they're not going to pay him to just sit. I think they'll just use him. Hopefully, they don't do the committee approach.
Yeah.
It could be bad.
You still want the trade?
Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's happening. I would love a trade. But you know what? I don't know. Because if the most likely destination they were saying is the Eagles, I don't necessarily want the Eagles to get better because that screws the Cowboys over. Also, no one said anything to us about the Redskins-Cowboys game. I was surprised. No one texted anything. Maybe people are over it.
I don't even have like a good... I can't even talk smack on behalf of the Redskins fans for them right now. I don't think anybody winning an NFC East matchup has much to brag about. I'll say it that way.
That's true. Someone has to win it.
Technically, yes. Is it going to be like the NFC Redskins West that year that like the Rams made it with a 7-9 record or whatever?
That'd be amazing.
It's going to be something like that. Speaking of down years for people in the NFC East, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the Redskins. It's not like their defense is elite.
No.
And he's had some, Jason Garrett.
Yeah, he's had some good... I guess he's actually putting up fantasy points. It just feels, as an NFL fan loosely observing, it feels like he's having a down year. But I guess that's sort of their whole offense.
I think yardage-wise, he's fine. But he's not getting touchdowns, and they're not using him that much in the passing game.
Yeah.
I thought Eckler would do well because he was starting this week.
He got you 9.5.
This is basically why I had him. But yeah, I was expecting a huge game from him. But it didn't matter because your defense scored 30 points. Yeah. If you take that out, and I had that last year too, right? You need a good defense and a kicker. I had the Jags and Legatron or Greg the Leg.
Yeah.
This year, my people suck. Like the Jags D sucked. I don't know if I should drop them or. And then Ryan Suckup, I was so high on a few podcasts ago. I think he'll be dropped.
He might be dropped this week. So Zeke, Calvin Ridley, and Suckup are all on a bye this week, and you got to play Cole.
And I got to play Cole, yeah.
That's an
and
uphill battle.
He has much on a bye.
That's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Julio's out for him.
Julio doesn't score much anyway.
Yeah, he's he doesn't score touchdowns at all.
He doesn't score touchdowns, yeah.
All right. Well, we're rooting for you because we're rooting against Cole.
Don't we have like a vote coming up on the keepers?
Yeah, that's supposed to happen before week 8, which is starts on Thursday.
I think I thought about it. I think I'm fine with, this is the same position I had before, but I'm fine with the current system. I think two keepers is fair. I think the 5, 10, 15, whatever.
Yeah, what's probably going to happen is I'm going to send out a text maybe tomorrow morning and just see if anyone is so riled up that they still want that vote to happen.
Okay.
And then I'll try, if the tide swings that direction, then I'll try and organize as much of it off the phone as possible. So like make people lay out their proposals in detail so that we can all read them in our own time and get on the phone and quickly do this, because I don't want to do the 3-hour nonsense that we did.
Yeah, that was bad.
us talking about Pat Mahomes' keeper value, the only one that I've come up with in my head that makes any sense is using an agreed-upon ESPN value every year and an increasing fraction that you get to keep them at. So, like, the first year you keep a player, you keep them at 1/3 whatever ESPN projects their value at. The second year, 2/3, and then every year after that, you just get them for the ESPN value.
But that's not rewarding people for picking. It's not, like, rewarding the, like, David Johnson or Kamara kind of thing.
Well, you would. So, like, David Johnson, Cole got him for $1 originally, and then the next year, ESPN probably valued him at, like, 45. So we would say,
Cole, you're saying you get to add that onto it?
No, we would just say that's what his price is. Cole, you get to keep him for 15.
No, but if, let's say, he had drafted David Johnson for, like, $90, then he still would have been able to keep him for 15 because the ESPN value is 45.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, not if you drafted above that price.
Okay.
I guess whatever is higher, the price you actually paid for him or this price.
Oh, interesting.
So that, a player's value could never decrease, I guess.
But do you think that the current thing is broken?
No, I don't. I think it's fine. And I don't think it matters. Like, David Johnson, great example. He was the name that we kept using as an example. And on the podcast, he's the name that I keep trashing. I don't know. I just can't come up with, I think there's enough like new blood every year. Like a Pat Mahomes, Thielen, I guess, like we knew he was going to be good, but nobody thought he'd be the best wide receiver in the game.
I know.
You got, someone could have kept, like Hank could have kept Le'Veon, and that'd be a joke now. I don't know. That's any true. Player can go any direction to such a degree. And
what about auction dollars? Are you scared about what you just did?
I don't know. Part of me is kind of doing this to break the system a little bit. I want to see if I can break the system, because we're going to find out eventually whether or not this works.
You just want to see our league burn.
No, that's not true. I just want to know how much does that value matter the following year? I want to feel it firsthand. Like, how much am I going to hate 2018, Scott, in August of 2019?
Oh, God. We'll see. I guess we'll see.
It's a future
scalper. That was a crazy trade. That was crazy. $30.
So what'd you think? What'd you think?
Well, just based on every other trade we've had with auction dollars, that blows everything out of the water.
I gave you 15 with another $8 that were contingent on
15 for two players.
Yeah, but on Juju and Gordon, who you may not have even kept.
I wouldn't have kept.
Right.
Should have kept, but didn't.
Yeah, so you were going to throw them back in, and I took a big risk on them, and I thought one of those risks would pan out, and it turns out both of them did.
Like, I think Hank wasn't willing to go above like 10 for trading me for Davante Adams.
Interesting. Yeah. Some of it is also like
Is that something that you and Johnny were like, Johnny said like he wants it higher, or did you just came in with that offer? Because based on the previous trades, you didn't need to go that high.
Correct. He picked a much higher number earlier. So he said like 50 to 60 is what he values McCaffrey at. I then said, well, I only get him for a fraction of the year, and you know, there's no keeper value, whereas Lamar Miller has some keeper value.
That's the main reason why I was telling like you and like Hank when I was trading, I don't want to, like, when I give you Devontae for 10, it's not just this year, it's next year also. So like the keeper thing is huge. So you not having that keeper value means that the price would go even less, obviously.
Right, yeah. So I used that to help me out. And I came up with a number in, I think like 22 was what I sent him. I was like, and I knew in my head I would pay more than that, but I was trying to be first in line and just throw out a number and see if he would take the bait. I said, I think 22 or 24. And mm-hmm. he said no 2 weeks ago. And then last week, he lost again, which was part of my plan of like, all right, if he loses again, then I have more leverage here. But yeah. I also had such a big week getting high points again, and suddenly I looked like I could be one of the best teams in the league, that I had a little bit more incentive to just overpay as long as I was going to get him for as many weeks as possible and have the biggest impact for my team. So some of it is like, yeah, there's probably a market price, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the actual value to an individual owner. And his value to me was probably higher than it was to anybody else, because to me it was the difference between, you know, maybe being a sixth seed and maybe being getting a first round bye.
Yeah, that's true. I think Hank made a good point. He was like, it's fine that you did that, but why did you do it that early when, as of last week, it was like, if you lost me, right, suddenly you're back in the thick of things and maybe not even making the playoffs. So why not wait a little bit, see if you're actually, I guess, primed for that playoff run, and then do it?
Well, so yeah, I mean, so I wasn't losing a starter. Well, I was losing Lamar Miller, but I was immediately replacing him with somebody, and they were so statistically different that I felt good saying, I'm going to just get 6 points per week more than I would without this trade, yeah. Which if I told you that starting next week, you could have 6 points added onto your score, wouldn't you say, give that to me in week 8, not, I'm going to wait till week 9 to take that risk?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have, that's true. It could have been the difference between, like, I could have beat you by 3 or 4 points, and Lamar Miller put up 10 on Johnny's team, and McCaffrey put up 16 on my team. And if I hadn't done that trade, I lose to you, right? Yeah, I could also be in that boat.
That's true.
So I guess what I'm saying, if you believe that a trade actually improves your team substantially, then you should want to do it as early as possible, unless there's, you know, a bye or a difficult opponent or something like that that would change your mind.
Okay. Last thing, I guess, if you were willing to spend 35, did you try to shop that around and see what other teams would offer? Because that's first hearing that, that's huge. Like, I would think about my team and see who would I would give up for 30 bucks. If I'm not that confident anyway, it's a playoff.
I didn't, because I don't think anyone valued Lamar Miller, as was evident by everyone texting me, why'd you trade for Lamar Miller in the first place? So the only team that would be interested was Johnny, because I knew Matt wasn't interested yet.
He just lost, right? I wonder if he's...
Matt just lost, yeah.
Interesting to see what he does. Okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. It's just that I get that you have a value for the player, whether it be Lamar Miller or McCaffrey, but if the consensus is so negative, then it just doesn't seem like it's worth it to pay your full value for it. I mean, you can probably get it cheaper.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, Johnny wasn't going to give him to me cheaper.
Yeah,
true. Johnny also had like just like an irrational affection for Christian McCaffrey. and I could sense that.
I still
that.
Associate McCaffrey with Cole's team.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, yeah, he's a white guy, so Johnny likes him too.
Yeah.
and so I was also like paying an additional fee on top just because like he personally like likes following him on Twitter or whatever it is. So yeah, it is what it is. We'll see if it works out. I mean, like I said, when the opportunity comes and you get a chance to go all in, even if that means you're going to – you know, do some stupid punishment, I could be talked into it. Clearly I was, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, people may forget, you should have won the inaugural championship. You were like the heavy favorite team.
Like, was that the one against Matt?
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown fumbled on the last play of the game, and I lost.
Oh, wasn't that close? I didn't know it was that close.
Antonio Brown, was my player. He was the only one left. I was losing by like 1 point at the end of the game. No. Antonio Brown caught a 10-yard pass that would have that put me as the champion if he had just slid down. And after he caught it, he fumbled it, which then subtracted points away, and I did not, and he never touched the ball again, and I did not win that game.
Oh, no. It threw our league into this dark timeline with Matt winning.
Yeah, the only obviously the only way I could reconcile that loss was to become commissioner and start making absurd trades for future auction dollars. So we'll see how it plays out.
Okay.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Good luck against Cole, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
See ya.
Hello.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, Hank?
Doing well. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well. Are you? You're back in the U.S. of A.
Back in the good old U.S. of A.
How was Spain?
Spain was awesome. Spent a few days in Barcelona, a couple days in Mallorca, which is an island off the coast of Spain, and then.
I'm glad you covered that for me. That was. I was going to ask it. Somebody had to ask it. It was going to be me.
Yeah. Nobody seems to really know.
That's fair. In the Mediterranean?
Yeah, it's like where Ibiza is. It's one of the Balearic Islands.
Did you take a pill in Majorca?
I did not. but I see what you're doing there.
It was worth a shot. While you were gone, some things happened.
Yeah.
Notably, we'll start 2 weeks ago with your win over Aditya.
That was great. So I was not watching any football, obviously, because I was in Spain. But I woke up for a flight on Tuesday morning. And the Monday night football game was not over when I woke up.
That's awesome.
In the morning. So it was probably like 10 minutes left in the game, and I was losing. And I had Davante Adams and Alfred Morris, who, of course, wasn't playing. And somehow Davante Adams was able to pull it out for me. I feel bad for Aditya on that one, but that was a big win for my team.
That was. So what happened with those 49ers running backs? I guess you went to bed is what happened.
When I went to bed, all signs were pointing to Matt Breida playing, or at least being active, but not really getting any touches.
Yeah.
And I saw a Matthew Berry tweet basically saying, still play Alfred Morris. And this other guy, Raheem Mozart, or whatever his name is, was like not even on the radar. And then apparently Alfred Morris got one carry that was called back on the hold. And Breida got half of them, and then the other guy got half. So that was all news to me as I woke up.
That was rough. And for a while it looked like, while I was watching the Monday night game, it looked like you were going to come in losing by roughly the same number of points that Burita scored on your bench. Basically, it looked like if you had figured that out right before game time, you could have won. So I was sort of relieved that you actually did win just for that purpose for you, but obviously you got the win too.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Another questionable coaching decision. The last 2 weeks, you have had one or both of the Gregs on your bench.
So
that seems illegal.
I'm playing Greg DeLagos. I was playing him as soon as he got healthy, but he was not healthy when I originally had my name change.
Okay.
And then Eric Ebron is the only guy on the Colts that catches passes these days. I guess T.Y. Hilton is finally back, but they were basically using him by default because they had nobody else. So.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. They scored 37 points against Buffalo, and he only had 3 catches for 30 yards.
Yeah, that was a weird game. Buffalo sucks.
And the Colts might also suck? That remains unclear?
Yeah, it's possible.
Really hard
to
say.
In the feasible range of feasibility.
Yeah. All right. I just spent a lot of energy getting lambasted by Anurag over my trade with Johnny, which you, via the group text, insinuated you had some respect for. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, sure. Remind me of the deal again.
I gave $35 and Lamar Miller, your Lamar Miller, to Johnny for Christian McCaffrey.
Right. So, on your side, I thought that made a lot of sense because you are clearly going for it this year. And Christian McCaffrey is a stud running back. And $35 is a lot, but we've clearly seen that auctions don't really mean everything in this league. You can look at Honorog, just spend $95 on Le'Veon Bell, and he's still very much in the running here. It was just like a go-for move, and I like those type of moves.
Okay.
I understood it from Johnny's side, too, because he's basically out this year, but it sets him up for next year. I don't know. I thought it made sense for both of you.
Okay. I appreciate that. You are – so there are three teams at 3-4, you, Chris, and Aditya. You are substantially behind in the points for tiebreaker by what we could probably safely say is an irrecoverable amount, which means you need to win – you need to have the outright record lead. How do you feel about your team making the playoffs?
I think that there's clearly a path for me to get to 7 wins, which is basically what I need because of the points thing that you're alluding to. It's a strange year for me because usually – I'm just completely owning this league in terms of points for, and I just can't get wins. This year, I'm getting wins, and I have no points.
Yeah.
So, I need to get 7. Basically, it starts with Matt this week. It's pretty much a must win, and then I got Johnny coming up, which is a win. It needs to be.
Yeah.
That's two, and then
in between you have me. You also play Chris, and then Cole, and then Roe.
Yeah. So of those other, four games,
if you beat Chris, that would be big because that would help you get the clear record above him. And you beat Aditya in that ridiculous fashion 2 weeks ago, which might end up being the only thing that gives you any. I mean, if you were 2 games behind Aditya right now, or you'd be a game behind Aditya if that had gone the other way, and he would have a huge tiebreaker, and you wouldn't play him again. So both of those might be your most important matchups. But you're right. You got to beat Matt. You got to beat Johnny.
Beat Matt, beat Johnny, and then I just need to win 2 of the other 4. So it's doable. I'm not throwing in a towel on the year yet, but if I lose to Matt, that'll be bad. 3-5.
So this is interesting. Matt and Johnny have at least... I mean, Johnny has made a trade. Matt is at least considering trades for next year, basically. So two people have thrown in the towel. We just had a DT on the podcast. He talks about how he's basically one loss away from throwing in the towel. You just said that if you lose to Matt, you would throw in the towel. We might have 4 teams throw in the towel. And Chris hasn't done that and is somewhere between you guys.
I think I am... I wouldn't say that I'm one loss away from throwing in a towel. I would say I'm like 1.5 losses away from throwing in the towel.
Yeah, which losing to Matt might feel more like 1.5 than 1.
That'd be bad. That would put me in a big hole.
Interesting.
But
I guess what I'm saying is that somebody has to make the play. One of you three has to make the playoffs. You can't all sell out.
Well, we could all miss. If it's just me, Matt, Johnny, and Aditya.
Then Chris has to make the playoffs.
Chris has to make the playoffs.
And you have
can't
to play.
Can't count on that guy.
Right, yeah. All right, interesting. Which city do you think is more likely to win the World Series and the Super Bowl this year, Boston or L.A.?
I would say, man, they both have a chance, don't they? I would say probably L.A.
Is that just because they have 2 football teams?
Well, no, but although that's something I wasn't even thinking about. It's because I'm high on the Rams, and I don't care about baseball that much.
Okay, that seems fair. I think the Red Sox have a substantial leg up here this week, but I also don't care about baseball that much, nor do I actually know what I'm talking about. I just repeat what I hear on ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know. Manny Machado's hot. I don't know anything.
Manny Machado's hair...
So Kershaw.
We had very good tickets to a Braves-Dodgers playoff game, and we're right behind the Dodgers dugout. Manny Machado's hair just looking at it looks painful. Like, it just looks like it always hurts his head to have his hair braided that tight. It's nuts. He's also a dirtbag.
Yeah.
And that's all the baseball analysis that I'm capable of.
Yeah, he was on the Orioles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
I also heard that Clayton Kershaw has never pitched in Fenway.
Never pitched in Fenway?
Because they're in the opposite leagues. And I guess he's been injured the years that interleague play has been between those divisions.
There you go. The more you know. Yeah. He's game one, right?
Tonight, yeah.
All
right. There's no way that I'm awake for the end of it. And
oh, no way.
I can't even promise that I know the outcome of it before, like, 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm still battling a little bit of jet lag, so I'm definitely not going out for that baseball game.
When did you get back?
Like midnight on Sunday evening. So yesterday was tough.
Yeah, I bet.
Getting up in the morning was super easy because 6 a.m. is basically noon.
Yeah.
And then 6 p.m. is basically midnight. That's when it got rougher. But no complaints.
How was the wedding?
Wedding was awesome. The weather was perfect. They were in this villa in Tuscany. That was really nice. We stayed there for like five days. Pretty good size wedding for being in Italy.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Like, that has to deter some people, and maybe that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, their family is huge, and so I think she was kind of banking on not all of the McCormicks showing up. And they had a huge showing anyway.
That's crazy. Good for them. Yeah. That's cool. All right. Well, sweet. You play Matt this week. We wish you the best of luck. And hopefully you'll make the playoffs.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. We'll see how it goes. I got to get this one.
Big win. A must win.
Yeah. More or less.
No Keenan Allen.
Yeah. I've been cycling through buys on my receivers. I want to get all three of those studs back.
Are you really going to start Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston's a stud. Back-to-back games, over 20. He was over 30, I think, 2 weeks ago. He's my guy.
I guess he gets a lot of rushing yards.
Yeah, he's back.
He's the 32nd. Well, okay, so he didn't play for 3 weeks. That's why. And he had a bye. Never mind. He's only played three games, and the first one he hits. Okay, you're right. All right, I stand corrected.
I feel good on Winston. I feel good on my receivers. Obviously, I have Greg the leg, which is a huge, how would you say, leg up on everyone else. And my hole is clearly running back because Jordan Howard stopped playing football, and Ingram is still coming back. So if anyone wants to trade me a stud running back, I'll be in the market if I win this week. Other than that, I'm pretty much standing pat.
Johnny has Lamar Miller. You might want to approach him about a trade.
He was good last week.
He was good last week. That's true. Man, what a crazy league. What a weird mind pretzel that you just get yourself in the more that you look at all this stuff. This doesn't make any sense.
It's so hard being in the middle of the pack.
Being in the middle of the pack is grueling. And you just alternate, like, psychologically, every week you're just like, I'm the best. I'm the worst. I'm the best. I'm the worst.
Yeah, that's a grind. But I seem to always find myself there. It's at least it keeps it entertaining.
You know what nobody's talking about? It does keep it entertaining. Nobody's talking about how you and I are the only ones that have ever come in second in this league.
People don't talk about that enough, Scott.
So this year, that might be my cross to bear for us.
Yeah, well, it's looking more like you than me, but I'm not giving up yet.
Okay, that's good. Maybe I'll beat you. Maybe one of us will beat the other one in the championship.
I'd like that.
All right, I'd like that a lot too. We're gonna let you go. Pleasure as always. Glad you're back in the States.
All right, man.
Talk See ya. Later.